Hello and welcome to
Ghostbeats,
a horror podcast. I'm Todd, joined by my wife Becca. Hi, Becca.
Hi.
Hi. We just watched The Tingler from 1959, directed by William Castle, who also directed House on Haunted Hill, 13 Ghosts, a billion other movies. I think this is the era where they were just pumping this shit out. They were directing like fucking five movies a year. And yeah, I'd never seen this one before, but this is like one of your favorites, I guess.
Yes.
This is a very interesting movie. I love being introduced to these older movies with you because I definitely don't watch these on my own. And I'm really happy you're introducing them to me because like that's how I watch Cat People. And I appreciate that a lot now. And this movie is ridiculous, but I'm really glad that I saw it because it was a really fun time. And it's super interesting. I'll say right now, we're not going to talk spoilers right now. I don't know how to do that, especially a movie that's this old. It's like, does it even matter?
I don't know. I mean, there's like maybe a slight spoiler you could say, but even so, it's literally the title. Like,
I mean, the movie, it's like, it's a very like one-dimensional story. There's like six people in the fucking movie. You know, it's like two locations. It's very simple. I did think it's funny how in the beginning the director like talks to the audience and is basically like, all right, guys, this movie is going to blow your fucking tits off. Like, I hope you're ready for this. Like, this is definitely the prime like shit and piss your pants. Fuck, I think I just hit the mic. This is definitely like the prime shit and piss your pants era of movies where people.
I'm so sorry.
I have to say that a third time.
It's okay because it makes me laugh, so.
This is the prime shit and piss your area. Fuck.
Shit and piss your areolas.
My sister will never like listen to this. This is the prime era when people were pissing and shitting their pants and passing out in the movie theater. They even like when he's introducing it as like, this is the fucking scariest shit you're ever going to see. Get ready for this. They ended with, like, people just screaming.
Yeah, it's like disembodied heads just, yes. Like, screaming over and over.
Yes. Well, I wonder what it was really like seeing movies back then like this.
Oh, man. I'd love to see. I've seen only, like, photos. I don't know if they ever thought to, like, film those things at that time. But if there is any, like, evidence of that, I would love to see it.
I said to you while we were watching it, if we showed them like Smile or something like that, they would die.
Yeah,
they would like not be able to handle it. But this movie, you filled me in on this, that the movie basically is like, it's like the invention of like the 4D Universal Studios ride, basically.
I think it's kind of cool to know that as like history in the background before you
I'll
see
say,
it.
I think that's important to know because like the movie by itself is just so like bizarre. You have to have that like extra bit of information.
Yeah. So William Castle is like a gimmick king. Mm-hmm. Like he loved like making it like interactive and he wanted, I guess, to like antagonize the audience to like, you know, all of this buildup to like make people think like, what the hell am I about to see?
Yeah.
You know, so he would hire actors to sit in the theater and scream and pass out. And then they'd be taken out on a stretcher.
Oh, yeah.
And
that's fun.
Yeah. And he would have, I think there's a photo of, and you can probably easily Google this. There's a photo of like a skeleton hanging down from the wall.
Oh, yeah.
And like he would have buzzers in the seats that would like go off at random times to like have people freak out, you know, you're getting like an electric jolt.
Yeah, and you said they had like the like air cannon things,
yeah,
which are still used in these kind of rides and stuff.
Yeah, it's so that you could like your imagination would think something is like touching you or something.
Yeah.
And freak you out. And I think he called it like Percepto. And he also, I think he had like smell-o-vision too. I don't think it was
used. I don't know what that smells like.
Yeah. I don't think it was used in The Tingler, but he had some. It's really cool if you like look into it. I'm just such a huge fan, and especially like going into this movie, you will like feel like that's what this movie was made for.
Well, yeah, that's what I was going to say. What's so funny is it really feels like that was the number one priority making this, because it feels like the idea is made with all of that in mind.
Oh, yeah.
So if you don't have that part of it, it's just like, what the fuck am I watching? Like, it is just so fucking strange, because the whole idea is that it's supposed to be, when you're scared, there is this parasite that like attaches to your spine. Mm-hmm. And I guess it can like kill you if you don't scream to make it go away. And it's supposed to be like, oh, that is the chill running down your spine or whatever, which is something I've never felt. So I don't even know what that means. Have you ever felt the chill down your spine?
I don't know. I mean, I've been like scared, but I don't know if I've ever been like, oh, God. Like,
I mean, yeah, I hear people say that a lot. Yeah. I don't know if I've ever experienced that. But it's funny that it's like, it's all trying to build it up as like, just to freak you the fuck out as mm-hmm. much as possible. But without that, like, theater element, it is just the silliest goddamn... like, just calling it the Tingler is like, guys, like, I can't take this seriously. Like, what are we doing?
Yeah, it is a silly name, but I'm so in love with the concept and how, you know, how much dedication he had to, like, making this, like, an art form, you know?
Definitely.
Like, it's silly, but I just love it so much. And I had a good opportunity to see this movie for the first time on a big screen.
Oh,
so
yeah.
That also like added to the experience too. Of course, you know, I didn't have like the buzzers and the air cannons, but
yeah, that's too bad. That does feel like it's something that's like lost to time now, but it's very interesting having that context, I think. But it is kind of like, yeah, it's an hour and a half Universal Studios ride without the ride. It's like if you just start watching the video part, which it maybe is not as effective, but it was just, it was super fun and just interesting.
Yeah.
It's like a weird snapshot from this era.
Yeah, it's also worth mentioning that when they would screen these at drive-ins, he would announce that the Tingler is loose in the drive-in. Yeah. You know, because obviously couldn't use the air cannons and stuff, but like just...
They were such fucking losers back then. Like, seriously, like just the fact that like someone would get that scared about like the Tingler is here. It's like nowadays everybody's so fucking jaded. I just feel like, what are you talking about? But I don't know. Yeah, I had a lot of fun. I love watching these movies with you. I don't know what else we could say without just getting into the spoilers.
Yeah. These movies are definitely like my feel good movies. Like they just put me in the best mood.
Yeah, I can see that. But why don't we just, I mean, as someone who's never seen these before, not a part of this, I thought it was really fun. I do think it's important to have the context.
Oh, yeah.
So maybe like after listening to this, you should go check it out. But why don't we just, let's just talk about it and get into spoilers. So of course, we didn't even mention Vincent Price is in this movie, definitely kind of carries the movie.
Yeah.
Has this very unique style of like overacting and being very dramatic.
Yeah.
But all the characters are so fucking silly. And it's like, it is funny the way these movies age, and there's like certain little details that you just have to fucking laugh at now, you know?
Yeah. The, like, digs at women, sort of, or, you know,
it's there. You can't have a movie from the 50s without shitting on women constantly. Yes. You're like a skank wife who's just, like, just like, the most terrible person. Like,
oh my God,
I guess she poisoned her dad and tries to, like, kill him during the movie, too, and everything. And I don't know, there's, like, a weird undercurrent. The story is, it feels like a play or something. Mm-hmm. It's like I said, it's two locations, it's six fucking characters, it's very like overly dramatic, and it's like it's all building up this Tingler idea, which when they show like the x-rays of this thing on their spine, it's kind of like, okay, that's kind of weird idea. And then when they take it out, which by the way, all of that, like him bringing the body in and he like cuts her open to get the fucking Tingler out. And then the guy's just like, all right, I'm just going to take her home, and just like picks up her body and walks out with it. There's so much shit like that. But the Tingler itself is like the goofiest fucking little puppet
thing
that I could appreciate. Like the way they play the heartbeat was pretty cool whenever it was around. But it was like the silliest goddamn thing. It was like just a little string, like pulling it along. I can't imagine people in the theaters like freaking out over this stupid little thing.
Yeah, I don't know. I'd love to see if there's a way to look back at old reviews you know, like whatever's in the newspaper, I guess. Because I'm curious to see that. Because I mean, personally, someone who has, you know, done special effects and loves special effects, I think it's just so silly, and I love it so much. Like, it's so cool to me.
Yeah, it is. It's very, very silly, though. And even, like all the parts where it's trying to, like, really scare the fuck out of the audience, it really does show how much things have changed and kind of evolved. Like, when, so the guy's wife, who is mute and deaf, and they initially say that she's, like, dumb and deaf or something. Yeah. And I felt so bad because we were talking about every time she did sign language, it was like, is that... That doesn't look like real sign language. Are they just, like, making this shit up as they go? But I guess it was.
Yeah, I did, like, look up on IMDb very quickly that the actress took, like, sign language lessons before the movie. So, obviously, she wasn't, like, an expert at it. So, that's probably why it looks a little awkward.
It's probably also evolved over time. Yeah. But when she gets, like, scared to death and it's basically just, like, a furry hand coming out of a door and throwing an axe and stuff like that, it's just, like, the goofiest, like, haunted house shit ever.
Oh, yeah. It's so cool, though. I love it so much.
Yeah.
All those little things.
But it does, like, the way it kind of culminates does feel like, okay, I can understand what they're doing with the theater experience. Because it literally gets loose in a theater.
Yeah.
And everyone's, like, screaming and freaking out. And they keep, like, making it go black. So I can imagine in the theater it would go pitch dark and you're just hearing people scream and stuff. So I can, it is very much, like I said, it's, like, you're watching one part of a theme park ride.
Yeah.
And like when it slithers across the screen and stuff, it's just like, oh my God, it's so fucking silly.
I think it's so cool though. I just love that so much because I just like imagine being in the theater and then like seeing that, you know, like
shitting yourself. Yes. It is a super interesting part of history, and I can understand how these movies are like very cozy. And I also appreciate that it's like, it's an hour and 20 minutes, you know, like they were definitely like in and out with these fucking movies, which I could appreciate that too.
Yeah. There's also that cool effect of the bloody bathtub with the hand coming out in the sink.
Oh yeah.
The blood
yeah.
and stuff. For that time, that's like, holy shit. Like,
well, yeah, like the blood was, it was a black and white movie, but the blood was actually red.
Yeah.
And that was, I mean, you can kind of tell because as soon as they get to the bathroom scene, it's like it was already very grainy and everything. But in there, it was suddenly like 3 pixels. And it's like, okay, they're doing something with the film right now.
Yeah.
But that was a cool effect. I think that was probably the most like effective part of the movie, in my opinion. Mm. But it was really fun.
Yeah. My favorite part is when he's cutting her open to get the tingler out and you see the shadow of the puppet coming out. And then, of course, there's the husband of the dead lady. He's like for 10 seconds, a little too long, or maybe even 30 seconds, just making these like faces,
Well, that's like, I have to wonder, I think that's definitely another sign of the times is like all these fucking movies seem to involve like husbands and wives, like cheating on each other and killing each other and stealing money. Like Psycho did all this shit too. You know, it's like, this must have been very common back then. I don't understand.
Unfortunately, I do think it was very common back then because it was almost like a lot of, and without getting too deep into history, a lot of young people were convinced that getting married and having kids and all that stuff, that was like, you have to do it. It's a tradition. You're outcast of society if you don't, which led to a lot of unhappy marriages and
murder and stealing a safe full of money. Yeah, there's just those kind of themes are just like so common. And even that, it just felt like such a left turn. It was just like, where did this come from? But it's like, okay, I guess that's just a normal twist for these kind of movies. But there's also the part when he like catches her cheating. And there's like a tie clip on the table or something. I was like, is that a fucking kazoo? Like, what? It's like that era from the 50s. It's like, might as well. Like, I completely just ran with that. Like, okay, I take out your kazoo before you drink.
That shit, when you said that, that made me laugh so hard.
They could literally do anything in this era and I would just be like, all right, I guess that's what it was like in the 50s. I don't fucking know.
I found your lover's kazoo.
I don't know. It was very fun. Yeah. I don't know if you had anything else you wanted to talk about?
No, I mean, you know, I don't want to go on too long.
Good time. But you can go to ghostbeast.com for all our links. You can also follow Ghost Beast Pod on most social platforms and Ghost Beast on Letterboxd, where we rank all the movies we cover. So what if we did Above Deadstream, Below Saltburn? How you feel?
That doesn't make sense, though.
You don't have to. It doesn't have to make sense.
Okay. Yeah, that's fine.
Okay. Puts it at number 28, which is completely meaningless. and you can contact us at podcast@ghostbeast.com. What are your favorite classic movies? Because there are, it's like I said, if one director is releasing like five fucking movies a year, it is impossible to wade through all of this stuff, you know? So, I mean, what are the highlights? What are your favorites other than this? Like
me?
You, Becca. Yes.
Oh, man. There's White Zombie. That one is pretty good. 13 Ghosts, obviously another William Castle. That one's really good too. House on Haunted Hill, also another William Castle. That one, obviously.
Is that all Vincent Price?
Maybe. I can't think off the top of my head.
Anyways.
Yeah, you caught me off guard. I have to look at that.
Bye-bye.
Don't do that to me.